Hey, good morning. Let's turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Now after this, the Lord appointed 70 others, sent them two and two ahead of him to every city and place where he himself was going to come. And he was saying to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no shoes, and greet no one on the way. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be to this house.' And if a man of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking what they give you, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not keep moving from house to house. Whatever city you enter, and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal those in it who are sick, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' Whatever city you enter, and they do not receive you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your city, which clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Be sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I say to you, it will be more tolerable for that day and for Sodom than for that city. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For the miracles had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, which occurred in you, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will not be exalted to heaven, will you? You will be brought down to Hades. The one who listens to you listens to me. The one who rejects you rejects me. He who rejects me rejects the one who sent me." And the 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And he said to them, "I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall injure you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven." At that very time, he rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit and said, "I praise thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou didst hide these things from the wise and intelligent and didst reveal them to babes. Yes, Father, for thus it was well-pleasing in thy sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him." And turning to the disciples, he said privately, "Blessed are the eyes which see the things you see. For I say to you that many prophets and kings wished to see the things which you see and did not see them, and to hear the things which you hear and did not hear them. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and put him to the test, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' And he said to him, 'What is written in the law? How does it read to you?' And he answered and said, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live.' But wishing to justify himself, he said to Jesus, 'Well, who is my neighbor?' And Jesus replied and said, 'A certain man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, and they stripped him and beat him and sent him off half dead, leaving him half dead. And by chance, a certain priest was going down on the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite also, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan who was on a journey came up upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion, and came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them, and he put him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I return, I will repay you.' And which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands?" And he said, "The one who showed mercy toward him." And Jesus said to him, "Go and do the same." Now, as they were traveling along, he entered a certain village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary, who, moreover, was listening to the Lord's words, seated at his feet. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations and came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." But the Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only a few things are necessary, really only one. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Amen. Yesterday, I said that Luke 9 and Luke 10 are contrasting passages. And so, you know, to really understand Luke 9, you have to read Luke 10. And obviously, to understand Luke 10, you have to read Luke 9. And so, remember, Luke 9 was just a mess, right? The disciples were just tripping over themselves. It was, you know, basically what really happened is their pride, their arrogance, their exclusivism, you know, really came to the forefront. So look what Jesus does in chapter 10. He actually puts the 12 to the side, you know. In sports term, he puts them on the bench, right? And then he gets the 70 others, and he tells them to do the same stuff. And it's almost like, you know, he kind of sidelines, you know, his disciples. He uses these other guys to so listen, look, this is how it should be done. And you can imagine being part of the 70, right? You know you're not part of the 12. You know, you pretty much know the pecking order of Jesus' attention, right? And so these guys are not, you know, the in-group, but they're still, you know, part of the disciples. They're still the ones that hang around him, you know. And, I mean, you can imagine how excited and thrilled that you'd be that now Jesus is giving you a commission and he's giving you authority. And now he basically says the same stuff. He talks about the harvest is go your way, you know, going twos and two by two. Don't take anything with you. It's the same message. And now he adds on it a little bit of a strategy. And this strategy might be quite helpful for us. I taught on this, I think years and years ago. And if you're more interested in the full message, I think I called it Jesus-style evangelism or something like that. It's probably on the website somewhere. But he gives us a real simple blueprint of how to witness to people, right? The first thing he says, you know, whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. In other words, speak shalom over the house. You know, and so the first mode by which, as we minister to people, we should pray, right? We should just say, peace be to this house, peace be to this man, peace be, you know, shalom to this woman that you're ministering to, shalom to the workplace, right? You're praying peace, the shalom, the presence of God into, you know, whoever you're ministering to or in whatever setting that you're ministering at. And then, once you do that, and it says, a man of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking what they give you. Right? In other words, you know, you pray, and then the next mode is you fellowship. You get to know that person. Right? You build a relationship with that person. Right? You build, you know, you spend time getting to know who that person is. Right? So you fellowship. You you go to the house, you eat and drink what they give you. It says, in whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat what is set before you, right? So it's all fellowship aspect. Heal those in it who are sick, right? In other words, saying that is meet their needs. Pray, fellowship, meet their needs, right? And so, you know, if someone is sick in the house, pray for them. You know, if someone is unable to do something for them. You know, if someone is hungry, feed them. You know, whatever it may be, you meet people's needs. You know, we talked about this yesterday, right? It's the gospel. The gospel is proclamation and demonstration, right? Well, Jesus is telling them, he's talking about be the demonstration first. Pray, fellowship, meet needs, right? Demonstrate the gospel. And then it says, and then say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Then you get to preach. Right? Pray, fellowship, meet needs, preach the gospel. Right? The kingdom of God is here. Right? It's the reason why I think a lot of times we kind of mess it up is the first thing we want to do is preach. Right? But we want to preach, but we have no credibility. You know, there's, you know, we want to do, but there's no audience, you know, in essence. There's not a receptive audience, so to speak. And so, you know, you have to build credibility. You know, and we know this in our life. You know, we know this in terms of the regular relationships that we have with people. And so we make sure that we follow along in this pattern. We pray, right? You say shalom to this house, shalom to this person. We fellowship, you eat, you drink, you get to know that person, you hang out, you have hobbies. You know, I mean, just regular, you know, world stuff that we do. And then you meet their needs. And as you get to know somebody, then you begin to recognize that there may be certain needs that they have. You know, maybe, you know, their son is sick. You know, pray for the son to be healed. You know, maybe they're having difficulties at work or something, right? You minister to them in that way, right? You meet people's needs, whatever they be material needs, spiritual needs, emotional needs, you know, who knows? But you meet people's needs. And then you say, the kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is right here with you. You know, and, you know, this basically is a pattern. Was it effective? Yeah. You know, verse 17, right? It says, the 70 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And look what Jesus said. He said, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Right? This is not, I don't want you to get this idea, this is not heaven, like the third heaven, paradise. This is heaven. Remember, this is the realm, you know, I taught on this, right? The third heaven, second heaven, first heaven. This is a second heaven where all the warfare and all the angels and demons and all that stuff kind of happens. And he says he fell from heaven like lightning. You know, he was denounced, you know, in this place. You know, and I mean, it's a pretty awesome passage if you think about it. When we're ministering in Jesus' style, guess what? That's powerful spiritual warfare. You know, you don't have to just cast out demons and whatnot. I think they happen naturally, right? When you're ministering like Jesus is ministering in this way. And it says, and he is watching Satan fall like lightning. You know, in verse 20, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. This is a common thing that will happen for us. You know, is that we will be so enamored by the results of ministry, right? We'll be so enamored, you know, like, you know, if you're a preacher, about how, you know, great you preach or the response to the preaching. Maybe you're praying for someone, you get so enamored by the results. And Jesus says, don't get so enamored by the results. Just be grateful that you're a saved child. You know, this is, remember going back to Luke 9, right? I think this is why the disciples, man, they really stumbled and tripped. They were so fixated on the results. They felt like they were big shots. Oh, even the demons, you know? And these guys are slowly starting to, you know, because ministry can corrupt people. It's just a reality, right? You know, people that use, you know, that are manipulative in the world, you know what I mean? And, you know, insecure, and, you know, they use, you know, power and that thing in the world to, you know, position, to elevate themselves. Guess what? They come to the church and they do the same exact thing, you know, because they're not, have been completely sanctified yet, right? And so, you know, be careful that we don't lose sight of this pattern, that we don't lose sight of just being so enamored with the result of ministry. It's God doing it anyway, right? And so the Lord is saying, hey, be happy that you're saved. You know, be grateful for that part. Don't focus on the externals, right? Focus on yourself. You know, and then at this time, verse 21, he rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit. I mean, that is open to so many different types of interpretations, right? I mean, what does it mean he rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit? I don't know. You know, but I tend to think that he was probably laughing, you know, some of these manifestations that we've seen in modern times. Something was happening to him. And then he prays, he says, I praise thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. Thou didst hide these things from the wise and intelligent. Remember, dealing with the pride issue again. Didst reveal them to babes. You know what's the best part of babies? I mean, we're having a lot of fun right now with Hannah. You know, she's just about what is she now? 7 months old or 6 months or, you know, something like that. And she's learning to crawl right now. She's so fun, you know. And I mean, looking at her, this is the nicest way of saying this. She's evil. Okay. You know, because that's the Adamic nature, right? You know, and babies, you know, they cry when they want something, and they kind of know, you know, a little bit of, I mean, they know how to push the boundaries. Well, I can't really say a six-month-old, right? Then that's a little too harsh. But, you know, even the other day, you know, Lisa told Emma, we had this easel, right? And we're drawing on this easel. We're having art time at home. And Emma kept playing with the easel, right? But the baby was right there on the floor. And she said, Emma, stop doing that. You know, don't do that. And she basically put her legs in between the easel, right? And Lisa kept saying, don't do that. And so I saw this happening. She took her legs off, but then she was looking at, Lisa was busy with doing something else. She was looking at her, and she put her legs back in, right? Just to see, like, just testing her, you know? And sure enough, the thing collapsed and missed Hannah by about 2 feet, right? And but it's this constant testing of the boundaries. Where does that come from? That's rebellion. You know what I mean? It's the rebellious spirit, you know, that's at work. And so babies, you know, babies are not innocent. You know, the true value of babies, right? Obviously, they're cute. I'm not talking about the value. I'm using a different way. But a value that we can learn from babies is that they're dependent, right? You know, it's not, babies are not innocent. If you hang out with little kids, you know that, man, they're mean, you know, and stuff. But babies, right? You know, babes in this way, little kids and whatnot, they're dependent, right? And more than they're innocent, they're dependent. And he's talking this aspect. He says, Lord, I thank you that you didn't, you know, you hid these things from those wise, or those ones that think they're wise, and those ones that think they're intelligent. But you reveal them to babes. You reveal them to people that are dependent on the Lord. And then, you know, it continues to go on. The guy asks him, well, you know, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus responds, he quotes Deuteronomy, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and with all your mind, your neighbor is yourself. I want to add this to you, right? You know, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, where this passage, where he's quoting from, Jesus actually adds a spin on this. Because in Deuteronomy, right, it says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. Jesus actually adds here that you shall love the Lord your God with all your mind as well. You know, which you know, helps us a bit to understand, right, that you know, the cultivating of our mind is of key importance, right? Because, you know, honestly, all the stuff that you deal with, right, is all happening in your mind. Spiritual warfare is happening in your mind. Where you hear the lies and you have emotional problems and you worry about stuff, where is that? It's all in the mind, right? And so he's talking about that you love the Lord your God with all of your mind. There's actually a really good book by J.P. Moreland, you know, by that title, you know, Love the Lord your God with all your mind, you know, and he really spent a lot of time, he's a professor, you know, dealing with that. And so, you know, and then asks, well, who is my neighbor? And, you know, you've heard the passage of the Good Samaritan many times. You know, as a priest, the religious figure, the Levite, another religious figure. But the key being that these are all their fellow Jews, right? And they go out of their way not to help this man, you know. And the Samaritan, actually, this Samaritan troubles himself because he actually doesn't have the time to help this, where the priest and the Levite, that's what they're supposed to be doing, right? They're supposed to be helping, you know, their fellow countrymen in many, many different levels, right? And the Samaritan, you know, how we know that he has to actually leave right away, you know? So he troubles, it takes him to the inn. He's actually got to go somewhere else, and he says, well, when I come back, I'll repay you, right? In other words, he's got urgent business to deal with somewhere else, and he goes out of his way to help, you know, a non-countryman, you know, someone from another, you know, race, takes care of him, and then he asks, who, right, is the neighbor? And he says, the one who showed him mercy, right? I mean, just a real kind of simple point. Goes down the same, Martha and Mary. Let me clear up some misconceptions here real quick, okay? Martha is not a bad person. All right, we tend to always in the church have this contrast of Martha and Mary. Martha's bad, Mary's good. You know, Martha is busy, Mary's not busy. It's not. I mean, it is talking about that a little bit, but it's actually saying something a little different. Martha. Now, notice Jesus doesn't rebuke Martha. You know why? Because someone has to do that stuff, right? And so, because there's another stream, you know, I've heard this many times from people in church, like, you know, they're like doing, serving in ministry, and then they feel like, you know, Pastor Sam, I'm like, I'm so busy right now. Can I not serve? You know, and I just want to be like Mary and just sit at his feet. You know, and I'm like, no, you know, that doesn't make any sense, right? You know, in this context, you know, it's not so much about busyness, you know, but it's in this context you can read it this way. Jesus saying to Martha, because he doesn't rebuke her, right? The work has to be done, and he says, "Martha, Martha." All right, that's very you know very endearing you know words. Martha, Martha, you're so busy with other things. In other words, another way of saying is you're so busy serving other people. You're so busy thinking about other people. And Jesus is saying, think about yourself. Because that's what Mary decided to do. All right? You're so busy helping other people. Jesus saying, help yourself. You know, just sit and listen. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean, you know, that you know, it's not saying that you just give everything up. I'm sure Mary, you know, as a good, you know, a Jew living in this time, yeah, she would have helped as well. But see, there are certain times, right, where we need to help ourselves. You guys understand what I'm saying? You know, like one of the aspects, and you know, once you get familiar at church, you know, you'll know that the one of the things that we talk about a lot at church is, you know, and you know what I'll say a lot is, don't ever come up to me and tell me that you're burnt out doing ministry, right? We are created to serve the Lord, right? I mean, this is, you know, how would you feel if I came up to you some Sunday and says, you know what, I'm really burnt out preaching and doing all these things? You know, you'd be like, what an idiot. You know, that's like, how do you get burnt out doing something like that? Yeah, I think the same thing. You know, what happens is that you get so busy serving other people and doing other things that you don't take care of yourself. You know, and when someone tells me they're burnt out, you know what that immediately tells me is that they're not spending any time with the Lord. Right? I mean, that's really, you know, I just make a very quick, I just ask them, how's your relationship with God? And they'll say, well, yeah, it's not, you know. Well, that's the issue. You're actually not burnt out. You know, you just don't have any intimacy. Right? You're operating on excess fuel, you know, or fumes instead of the fuel of the Spirit in our life. And in the same way, like as a pastor, if I get burnt out, you know all that means? All that means is that I'm not spending time with Jesus. Right? That's where I eat. You know, and you know, that's where I get fed. And I can feed other people, right? I mean, that's basically how it works and things. And so, you know, Jesus, he's not rebuking Martha. He's just refocusing Martha. You know, he's just saying, you know, Martha, you're a great person. Man, you are there for everybody else. And he's saying, take care of yourself, right? Mary has chosen the best part, right? She's chosen to take care of herself. You know, I mean, if this conversation continues on, I'm sure Jesus would have said something like, don't worry, Mary's going to help you when it's the right time. You know, she'll be there, you know, to serve, you know, as is the tradition, as is the custom, right? But don't be so concerned about these other things, right? Focus your relationship on Christ. Focus your relationship on Jesus. You know, and then out of that, everything will flow. Ministry will flow. Serving will flow. Peace, you know, all these things that you're after, all these things will flow from that place. Right? You do so much for others. Do for yourself. That's such an encouraging word, isn't it? You know, Martha, Martha. You know, you're worried and bothered about so many things. Right? Notice, you know, he actually never used the word busy. Right, and so, you know, I hate it when people talk about busy Martha. Martha wasn't busy, you know. She was just concerned and worried about so many things, right? And he's saying, listen, you don't have to be so worried about stuff. Just come to me and focus on me, and everything will flow out of that, right? Everything will flow out of that, right? And if you think about this in this context, I mean, if these guys were all listening to Jesus, you know what I mean? I don't think they're eating. So why is she running around so much? You know, there's a time and things. And for us right now, it's a time to draw near to the Lord. So let's close our eyes. Maybe you hear the Lord in your own life right now. Nelly, Nelly, you're so bothered and worried about so many things. Catherine, Catherine, you're so worried and bothered about so many things. Linda, Linda, let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Allow Jesus to give you the strength to handle all those things. All of our worries, our concerns, let's give to the Lord. Not try to take care of it on our own. And watch what God does.
Savior, what can be said? And what can be not even in part of the debt of love that is owed by this thankful heart.
Let's pray, huh? Let's pray for ourselves and let's pray for our church. Let's pray that we would focus on the Lord and that everything that we do, you know, all of our service, you know, all of our giving, all of our loving one another would flow out of Christ's love in us, right? That, you know, ministry flows out of being. It flows out of who you are. It flows out of the recesses, you know, of God. It's the word talks about overflowing. And so let's just spend a moment with the Lord and let's pray for overflowing in our life. Because God is filling us up and loving us, that we're able to love and flow and you know, bless other people around us. Let's pray for that for ourselves. Let's pray for that for our church community as well. Huh? Let's pray. Let's pray for our local ministries. Let's pray for the churches here in Hong Kong, for the international churches and the Cantonese-speaking churches, the ethnic churches. Let's pray that God would just continue to move through this place. Let's pray for YWAM Hong Kong, in particular sports services and Shanty Ministries. Continue to pray for Godwin, who's recovering now from his burst appendix. Let's pray for Face to Face and Jimmy Stewart, Zhengsheng College, and Feed the Hungry and CSW. Let's ask God to bless these ministries and use them powerfully, you know, here in Hong Kong. Let's pray for our church ministries. Let's lift up the worship team, and in particular this Sunday, Samantha is going to be leading us, and so let's lift her up and cover her and her team. Let's pray for our welcoming and greet and eat team and the leaders and the people that are serving there. Let's pray for our men's and women's ministries and our local outreach, that God would just continue to raise up volunteers that have a heart to serve and to give in each of these places. Let's pray for our house churches this weekend. Let's lift up McCain House Church meeting tonight in Beijing on Sunday night. Let's pray for God's hand to be upon them as they lead and as they go forward in God. Let's pray for community and a real sense of purpose and belonging. Let's lift up. Thank you. Let's pray for our weekend. This weekend, let's ask for God's hand upon us. And let's pray tonight. We're having the favorite ministry, the Igapi team, over at our house for dinner. Let's pray for a good time of fellowship and thanksgiving for the serving. Let's pray tomorrow for the IP as they meet to pray God's purposes. There's also the bowling fundraiser tomorrow afternoon as well. Ask the Lord to have his hand upon us and the youth group. Let's pray for Sunday, our service is on Sunday. It's Pentecost Sunday. Let's pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Come out. I'll be teaching on the Holy Spirit this Sunday. Let's pray for God's hand to be with us. And we have a steering committee meeting as well in the afternoon. And so let's just pray for God's hand upon us as we make decisions and move forward. And let's just lift up this weekend before God. And Monday is Cascade. Let's ask God's hand upon them as a minister as well. Let's pray. Let's pray for our move, and let's continue to pray for a smooth transition. Today at 3 o'clock, I'm actually going with our architects to take a look, and we're going to look at the renovation, and you know they want to get started on it right away so we can get everything prepared. There's quite a bit to do, right? We have to buy chairs. We have to figure out how we want to situate the sanctuary. All the worship team, or Nate and Ken, had to figure out all the you know, electronic stuff at church, all the sound, and I mean, it's quite a bit of stuff to do. And so let's just really pray for a smooth transition, that, you know, it would not be a stressful time, but just a real happy time, right? That we just focus on the Lord throughout. Let's continue to pray for the Vine, that, you know, for their project as well. So let's just lift up. And lastly, let's pray for the retreat. Let's pray for Pastor Dom and his team. Let's pray for real anointing and God's word to flow through him. Let's pray for all the logistics. This Sunday is the last day to sign up for the early bird. And so it's going to be quite chaotic with the sign up. Let's pray for a smooth process, and people would sign up. And there'll be a lot of momentum going into the retreat, and people will be excited to hear from the Lord and receive from him and give to him as well. So let's just lift up all the logistics and all the planning and everything for the retreat. Lord, thank you, Father. We're so excited, God, about the transition and the move and so many things going on at church, God. But in the midst of all that stuff, God, help us to, Lord, make sure that we put our priorities, God, in the right place, God. That we focus on you and you alone, Lord. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added unto us as well, Lord. And so help us to focus on the things that matter first, God. And out of that, everything flows, God. Everything flows. And so we thank you for the reminder today, God, not to be bothered and worried about so many things, but to really just focus on the one thing that really matters, God, and that's you. And so, Lord, we give you honor and glory in our lives, God. Watch over us the rest of this weekend. Lord, help us to have amazing times as we gather together as a corporate body, Father. We bless you, Lord. We love you so much, God. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day today. And we'll see you this weekend at church.